Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Simon Ernst. This is the Overdrive, where the time has just gone 4:22. To the SMS line I turn, where you, Karen, started it off this afternoon, and also proved that the SMS line is working. So thank you for that. Hi Simon, great start. That was a classic. Looking forward to an interesting show. And everything is good, and only in a good way. Yeah, that was referring to the song that we played just a short while ago, Hakola Tova. And then you had something really interesting. You said the database for the vaccines is activated. That seems to be good news as far as you're concerned. And I want to just relate to that for a short while. I did get that SMS last night as well. I went in and had a look. I see that it seems to be quite a sophisticated program in terms of which you can go online and book yourself a vaccine appointment, which is just remarkable. Well, even more remarkable given that the vaccines only landed a couple of days ago. But I did kind of see that the intention was that it is for frontline workers only. And that then made me think they are way more important than the rest of us. And I turned it off and I thought, I'll get on in a couple of weeks' time once they have begun vaccinating the frontline workers. So I reckon, I don't know, I'd be interested to hear how you felt when you received that app. And then just talking about that for a moment, because I hear our president two nights ago nominating the Cuban medics for a Nobel Peace Prize. And initially I thought, wow, what a nice thing to do. And then I thought about it for a minute and I thought, what the hell? What about our South African health workers who are putting themselves in harm's way each and every day? What did Cyril Ramaphosa's comments about the Cuban medics, well, how does that reflect on our South African medical workers, our frontline workers? I'd love to hear your thoughts. 34519, that is the SMS line, or Telegram 061-895-1019. And because we are coming up for very nearly 25 past four and staying with the COVID theme, we're going to chat to Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute of Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Professor Shoup, thank you so much for being with us again this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you again for having me.
So, Prof, I completely defocused you off the topic yesterday, which was vaccine and herd immunity, and we spoke about everything else. But so let's go back to that issue. Talk to us about the vaccine and herd immunity and whether it's actually real.
Okay. Yeah. So just to kind of recap, what we mean by herd immunity is that we need to get a certain threshold, a certain proportion of the population to be immune to the virus. And at once you get to that threshold, and obviously it's quite a bit lower than 100%, you're never ever going to get 100% with any infectious disease. Yeah. It's probably going to be approximately about 2/3 of the total population. Then the virus will come under control. The virus doesn't have enough hosts to infect, and therefore it goes sort of underground. It doesn't disappear. I must emphasize, it doesn't disappear. There's only one virus we've made disappear, that's smallpox. So it will still be around, and it will kind of grumble on, and occasionally might flare up, but we will bring the epidemic under control at that stage. And then once we reach that stage, we may well then be able to dispense with all the precautions that we're doing now, most of the precautions, the mask, the distancing, and so on and so forth. So we try to get to that magic level of population immunity. And we're doing it, and of course, the major contributor to that will be vaccines, because that'll reach the majority of the population that we need to get herd immunity. There'll be some contribution from people that have been infected, because they will retain some immunity as well, but the majority will come from the vaccine. Now, that's really going to be in the second part of the vaccination campaign. The first part, or first immediate priority, is to protect the vulnerable. The vulnerable are firstly those who are exposed to the virus, and as you mentioned, it's the healthcare workers. They're the top of the list. Then the second phase of the first part is the other vulnerables. Those are the elderly folks. Those are the essential workers, essential for the economy of the country, because we can't have them going off sick. It's also people living in overcrowded situations or congregate situations, in institutions, and a bit controversially in prisons as well. And then also people who've got comorbidities. you know, the underlying illnesses which make them more vulnerable to the serious disease. That's going to be the first part. Then we get to the vaccination of the rest of the adult population to reach our herd immunity. So to get to that threshold, the vaccines play a very important role. And we need to kind of then do our arithmetic, because vaccines, of course, are not 100% effective. We want to get to that two-thirds. So now we've got to do our coverage. In other words, what percent of people we actually immunize multiplied by the efficacy of the vaccine.
Sure.
So, yeah. So that's eventually what you want to get to, 67%. I can do the calculation, but I think 4:30 in the afternoon is probably not a good time to go through these things.
And
but
I think what people would like to know, Prof, is by when do you anticipate this happening?
You know, Sean, obviously, been so many people have asked, you know, will we, you know, because the president and the minister have said, by the end of the year, we will get there. My opinion, will we get there? Look, I think what I can say is that the president and the minister of health have laid it on very thick. This is going to be a vaccination campaign, or I should say a public health campaign, no other campaign that we had before. It's going to grossly overshadow the antiretroviral campaign, which of course was an enormous public health exercise. That was a world beta, in fact. We're now the top of the world in terms of antiretroviral treatment. So they did it then, and there were a lot of naysayers then as well, but they did do it. And will we emulate that with actually a bigger program? And they promised that it will be a much bigger program than the antiretroviral program. I personally am pretty optimistic. I don't know, maybe I'm living in the fool's world, but I am optimistic they will get there. I think there's a lot of dedication. There's a lot of resources, we should put it. There's a lot of planning that's got into it. So I'm reasonably optimistic we will get there, and I hope we will get there by the end of the year.
Prof, I love it when we leave it on an optimistic note. I'll go with that for today. You say we're going to get there. I'm going to take your word for it, Prof. Thank you.
You're not going to hold me to it, though.
We'll take that offline. Thanks, Prof. Chat to you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.